I have a social mishpat shaila for you. Let's say you bought a car for $10,000. And let's say you got ripped off. It was really only worth $9,000, but you went and you paid $10,000 for it. And the next day, I'm driving down the road and I crash into your car. I total your car. It's gone. How much money do I owe you? You could have bought it for $9,000. You got ripped off. Do I owe you the $10,000? You say, yeah, you owe me $10,000. I just spent $10,000 on this. Now, the story's totally unrealistic. I wouldn't never crash into your car. I wouldn't do that. I only crash into trees, maybe, when I first got my license. But that tree was swerving towards me. It was not my fault. But let's say I crash into your car. I'm not going to owe you $10,000 because it's not worth $10,000. It's worth $9,000. Just because you spent more money, the car is not worth that much. I owe you for the amount of damage I caused. Now, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Hashem made the world with 10 statements. Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra olam. 10 times. Vayomer Elokim yihi or, Vayomer Elokim yihi rakiya. Hashem said, or this should happen. Hashem said, this happened. 10 sayings with which Hashem made the world. The Mishnah asks, why does it say that? And couldn't he have made it just with one statement? Hashem could have made the world with one statement, just as well as creating it with 10 statements. So the Mishnah answered, you know why Hashem did it with 10 statements? To punish the Rishayim who are destroying a world. That destroying a world that was created with 10 statements. And to give reward to Tzaddikim who are sustaining a world that was created with 10 statements. So Hashem could have made it with one, but he made it with 10 to charge us more if we mess it up, or to reward us more if we do what we're supposed to. Does that make sense? I mean, Hashem could have made it with one statement just because he made it with 10 statements. So he worked harder at it than he needed to, so now we have to pay him more money. What does that mean anyways? Hashem worked harder. That's ridiculous. Hashem doesn't work at all. So one explanation given that I really like is that had the world been created in one statement, that would imply that everything is independent. Everything was created directly from Hashem and maintained directly, is maintained and energized and recharged, kept going directly from Hashem. Each thing exists completely on its own. But by Hashem making it in 10 statements, what that saying is that there are separate layers, and each one was built upon the next one. They're interdependent. They need each other. They affect each other. So nobody can claim, let me do my own thing. It doesn't affect anyone else anyways. Just leave me alone. No, it does affect. It does affect everyone else. It affects the whole world. Learning better, like Rav Weinberg used to say, learning better may help a boy on the other side of the world. But tzitzis today, because you worked a little harder, got yourself to focus a little more while you were learning. And chas v'shalom, the flip side, doing an aveira could impact the world in a negative way. This is what the Mishnah means. Hashem made the world in 10 statements, even could have done it in one. Because by making it in 10, by making everything connected, now he could give more reward and more punishment, chas v'shalom. Because what we're doing has a greater impact. It's an amazing, fascinating point that comes out of this. You know, what do our mitzvahs matter to Hashem anyways? What are we doing for Hashem? Of course, they don't really do anything for Hashem. But he made the world specifically in a way, in such a way, to magnify the impact of what we do. So that what we do really matters. It really does make a difference to the world. And what we do really greatly helps or hinders the world from achieving the mission that Hashem has for it. And so we are sort of, kaviyachol, doing something for Hashem by helping the world fulfill its purpose. So we are fulfilling Hashem's ratzon, or fulfilling his will, by getting the world to the point where he wants it to get to. So what we do definitely matters one way or the other. Now, eventually, the world will achieve its mission. The question is, will it take more time or less time? And will each one of us contribute our part or not? Now, this idea that the world will definitely achieve its mission, it just may take longer and it may be a more painful process depending on what we do, or take shorter and be less painful process. This concept, though, that it will definitely get there is fundamental. It is absolutely important for a Yid to realize this. And it's something that we see here also in Bereishis. The Rambam says that it's an ikkar. It's one of the 13 fundamental beliefs that a Jew must have in order to be counted as part of the club. He must believe that the world was created from nothing. That not just does he believe Hashem created the world, but he has to believe Hashem created the world from nothing. Yesh me'ayin, there was nothing there, and then Hashem created the world. Would it be so bad if maybe somebody believed, I think there was something there, and then Hashem created the world from that something? Suddenly he's a kofer be'ikr, he's the biggest apikaris you could find just because he thinks that there was something there. Why is that fundamental? Why is it so fundamental to believe not just that Hashem created the world, but that Hashem created the world yesh me'ayin, from absolutely nothing? So Rav Weinberg Zatzal explained that someone who believes that the world was created and there was some pre-existing material involved, that person would not have the confidence that the world will necessarily achieve its goal. After all, maybe there were some faulty materials involved. Maybe the way Hashem made the world wouldn't necessarily get to its ultimate goal. I mean, created it just with whatever materials he happened to have. By believing that the world's created from nothing, what that drives home is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world completely the way he would want to, in such a way that it would definitely, absolutely, eventually lead to Yemos HaMashiach, to him being revealed, to the world recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Hirsch explains that we actually are mentioning as we express this concept with every Kaddish. Yiskadel v'yiskadei Shemei Rabbah. Hashem's great name should become great and holy. And it's talking about Yemos HaMashiach. When Mashiach comes, it should become great. Everyone will recognize Hashem. If you daven so svarad, and you know it's Habei Yemos HaMashiach, because you even mention Mashiach there. V'yatzma porkanu v'yikar v'mashichai. But we Nusach Ashkenaz folk, still, that's what it's talking about. Hashem's name should become great and recognized. In the world, these are the surprising words. What do those Aramaic words mean? Be'alma, should become great, be'alma in the world. Divra, that he created, chirusei, according to his will. Okay, should become great in the world that he created according to his will, the way he wanted to. Sounds like a funny thing to throw in there. Well, it should become great in the world. It should become great in the world that he made the way he wanted it to be. Of course he made it the way he wanted it to be. Why mention that? Rav Hirsch says, because we're talking about Yemos HaMashiach. We're talking about the world achieving its ultimate goal. And we know that the world is going to get there. We know that eventually Mashiach will come. The world is going to succeed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goal will come to fruition. Why? Because it's an Alma Divra Chirusei. It's a world that he created according to his will. Exactly. He made it exactly the way he knew it needed to be made so that we definitely would eventually come to Yemos HaMashiach. Now, how do you do that? Well, we could mess up. We have Bechira. But Hashem made enough contingency plans, backup plans, different paths that we could possibly switch to, no matter how many times we mess up, so that we could eventually succeed in bringing Mashiach. And this is the last point I wanted to make. We see this also in the very beginning of Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made backup plans, contingencies. No matter what we do, we can still succeed. You see, after every creation, Hashem says, it says, Vayar Hashem Kitov. Hashem saw it was good. The Ramban explains, what does that mean? It means he was gozer, decreed that it should stay that way. Vayar Hashem Kitov, Hashem saw it was good, means that's the way it's going to stay forever and ever. So for example, when it comes to splitting the waters and making the waters above and the waters below and then making the oceans, Hashem makes the water. Hashem divides the waters. And when he finishes dividing all the waters, then it says, Vayar Hashem ki tov. Hashem saw it was good, that it should stay that way. But in the first creation of light, which is really referring to spiritual light, the presence of Hashem, which is the presence of good, good versus bad, the creation of light, it first says, Hashem says, let there be light, here. And then it says, Vayar Hashem ki tov. Hashem saw it was good. And then Hashem split the light and dark. So even though when it came to the waters, Hashem splits it, and then it's the Vayar Hashem Kitov. By the waters, by the light and dark, it sounds like, you know, for some reason, he makes the light, he says it's good, decrees should stay that way, and then he splits it. It's that the splitting of it was never Vayar Hashem Kitov. Look at the psukim. You'll see. That's left out. That never says Hashem saw the splitting of the light and dark was good. Like the Ramban says that the Vayar Hashem Kitov means it should stay that way. It sounds like Hashem had in mind that it might not stay that way. It's not necessarily going to stay that way, that the light and dark will be separate. And in fact, it didn't stay that way. I'll tell you when that changed. After the very first chet, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Nefesh Chaim explains that there was at that point a confusion of the light and the dark, a confusion of Tov and Ra. See, originally the plan was, everything was clear. There's no Yetzirah inside of Adam, and everything was clear. And if they just made the right choice with that first test, then they would have gone from one step to the next, and they would have brought the world to its complete, successful state. But they messed up and they ate from the Yetzirah. And that brought the Yetzirah inside of them. It created a confusion. A confusion, like Nefesh Chaim brings, of the light and the dark, of the good and the bad. And the mission of man now changed. Now the mission was a much, much, much longer process of sifting through the good and the bad and figuring out what's good and bad, even though it became so much less clear-cut what's good and what's bad. So that's why Hashem couldn't split the light and dark and decree that it would be that way forever. He left it out. I would suggest. It says, Vayar Hashem ki tov, Hashem saw the light was good, but he didn't decree that the splitting of the light and dark should stay that way forever. It doesn't say that's good, because he knew that man might mess up, Adam and Chava might mess up, and there needed to be a backup plan, a contingency, that if he messed up, there would be another way to still achieve the goal of the world. So from the very first creation, we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this. Hashem created the world in a way that no matter what we did, no matter how badly we mess up, there would be an alternate route to get to Mashiach. In summary, what we've said here, said a lot, kind of quickly, but since we're doing this in a recording, you could listen again. In summary, we're saying the world is interconnected. Everyone has an enormous impact. Everyone's needed. Everyone makes a huge difference. Everyone's choices matter. But if we do mess up, it'll have a huge impact, a negative impact. But there's still going to be another way. Maybe longer, maybe more painful, but there will be another way. The only question that really remains is, will we be a part of it? Will we do our part?